Welcome, everybody, to the Gospel Talks podcast. My name is George Binoka, and with me here today is Pastor Jeff Musgrave. We're the co-hosts of this podcast, and the mission of what we're doing here today is to equip believers in relational evangelism and discipleship all over the world. We get it. You guys are on the front lines. You're seeing God work in your place, and what we want to do here is arm you to the teeth with as many resources as we can think of that will help you. And so if there's questions, comments, things you've run into, examples you have, please drop them in the comments below. We read those, we take those in, and then they show up on the podcast later. This is episode 2 of the podcast, and last week talked about how to talk with an unbeliever. If you didn't get to hear that episode, go listen to that. Subscribe to the podcast for new episodes that come out every week. This week, the question that we're going to be talking about is, how do you witness to somebody who thinks God is not good? Which is brutal.
Yeah, that's actually a really hard one, because if a person feels like God is been bad to them, to a family member, they're not likely to want to have a relationship with God. I actually think we in our culture tend to be cynical and suspicious anyway.
Yes.
And then if anything bad happens, man, that's I mean, I don't know. I don't understand. We never see something good happen. Boy, God did something great to me today. But it's always the bad stuff. God did that to me, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And these folks are people who don't trust God, feel like they have no reason to trust God. And they're kind of angry. And really what they are is hurt. They're very hurt. They're deeply hurt. And they've been through some trauma, some terrible trial. And they've kind of taken that out on God. So where do you start with somebody like that?
I think the very first thing is I want to help them tell their story. So just get that story. Ask questions. When they tell you, typically they're going to start on a surface level and tell me an incident, this happened. And if I ask follow-up questions, really literally what I'm doing is I'm giving my friend permission to go deeper. And they most of us know, most people are not interested. And so when you start telling your story, most people just kind of, their eyes roll in the back of their head. They're just not interested. And so if we can key in and be genuinely interested, it's going to make a difference. It's going to make an impact. Actually, what we're doing is we're beginning to show them God's goodness through our eyes, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
So if our eyes can show them compassion. So asking follow-up questions, giving them that permission to go deeper, you know, boy, that is rough. How did that make you feel? You know, so we're going from surface down into this is what I feel in my heart. And so just getting that story.
Yeah, you can be a reflection that God does care. And it's probably an inappropriate moment to say, well, I've been through this, and I've been through that, and I've been through this, and you've got no reason to feel the way you do. And, you know, I used to walk up, you know, hill in the snow both ways to school. And
well, and I think probably more likely is we all tend to hijack conversations. So even in trying to identify with them, we come up with a story that's similar in our minds.
Right.
But to the person who's genuinely hurting, number one, your story is not going to be comforting to that hurt. And number two, most of the time, if they're angry with God, our story doesn't really even come close to feeling the same thing.
Right.
I also find that sometimes we're a little concerned about them expressing bitterness. We don't want to validate their thinking about the situation. But I think that we have to remember that we don't have to validate their thinking to be able to validate the reality of their feelings, the reality of their wounds. These are wounded people, and they need someone to genuinely validate. I see how that hurts, man. I am so sorry.
Right. Yeah. And just be there for them. Because they're kind of expecting you to just, you know, barge in a little bit. So if you surprise them with kindness, it'll go really well, right?
Yeah. So, and eventually, I want to hear them say, I'm mad at God. I mean, that's literally, I mean, they don't have to say it in those words, but God did this. Why did God do this to me? I mean, it comes out in all different ways, But when I hear that, then I think it's time for me to make a bit of a shift in the conversation. I want to help them to understand God didn't make the world with pain.
Right.
God didn't make a world with evil and abuse and death.
Right.
The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 that death came from sin. When sin entered into the world, then it's curse and all of the evil and all of the pain and even the pricks and the difficulties of life all came from that sin entering into the world. I love to help people see God not only didn't start the world this way, he didn't make the world this way, he actually plans to rid the world of sin and its curse. And that passage in Revelation in 21 where it says that he's going to wipe away all tears, it's beautiful because it says there'll be no more death, neither be any mourning or crying, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. And you can just tell him, God, one of these days, God's going to get rid of all of that.
Yeah, and I think that's a really key thing to keep in perspective is people go, you know, why is this happening? But the answer is actually really simple. We chose this.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think we have to be careful because even though sin is the problem, it's not always a correlation that my sin caused this. We just live in a sin-cursed world.
Right.
And that's where all of the evil and the pain came from. I had a friend talking to someone about being angry with God. And he said, remember this, God is good. The devil is bad. And helping people get a perspective that there really is an evil one in this world who is perpetrating evil on the world. Sometimes I think people wonder, if God didn't do it, then how did it get here? John chapter 8 tells us that the devil's the murderer from the beginning. It literally says he is a liar and the father of lies. There's the genesis of evil. There's the perpetrator of the pain. In fact, Jesus said about the evil one that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that you might have life.
Right.
And might have it more abundantly. And just helping them to kind of get that picture that, yes, I agree there's evil in this world, and I hate it too.
Right.
But God is not the perpetrator.
Right. It's kind of when it's kind of when you're a teenager. Dad is always the bad guy. Right? And it's not only until you go to college that you realize dad's a genius. And so it's like when you're a teenager, it's like you feel like your parents are like dumb. And then you go to college, it's like, man, my parents are smart. And so it's all perspective, right? And it's like, so okay, in that perspective of being in pain and hurting, and it's like you're just looking for the nearest target, somebody that seems to fit the bill or bear the responsibility of the evil. But in reality, it's not. You've actually turned your guns on the wrong person.
Yeah.
You've turned your guns on the wrong person. And but I like what you said earlier. It's not until they're honest with you about the fact that they are mad at God, and that is the problem, that you can be honest. It's permission then to be honest with them, not curt or rude in the way you deliver it, obviously, but just, okay, well, can I show you how this started? Can I show you what's going on?
I think we have to remember, I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, you don't want to hit them over the head with the Bible. And the answer is you're right, but all of the answers that I have are from the Bible.
Right.
So I have to use the Bible. I mean, the Bible is the source for the good things that are going to help people. And I don't have any other medicine. That's the medicine God gave me. And I think we have to remember that even when a person doesn't believe, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is so different than any other book. Yeah. And it genuinely penetrates hearts. And sometimes if we take some of these comfort passages, some of these love passages, and just give them to people, it is amazing how God penetrates their hearts with them.
Which passages have you found to be the most helpful kind of medicine balm for the soul?
Well, I don't want to be too simplistic, but I mean, the reason everybody knows John 3:16 is because it is
right.
one of the most beautiful and calming, touching verses in the entire Bible. Hmm. God so loved the world that it gave his only begotten son. And then I usually like to tie that one. I mean, this is one that God's been ministering to me with lately, is in Romans 8 and verse 32, it says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" When God gave his son, that was the hard part.
Right.
I mean, God helping me through these difficulties as I look to him for help, that's the easy part, because God's already done the hardest thing that we could ever imagine.
Yeah, and I love, you know, verse 35, it kind of goes on there. You know, what can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness? I think you were kind of talking about, you know, Paul. Those are things that all happened to Paul. And those made a difference in his life about who God is to him. You know, it's like he saw through suffering and trial, but he saw God's love.
Yeah, I think that there's something about reading these passages. Who can separate me from the love of Christ? And watch that word penetrate. And I don't know that I can really explain it, except for that there are thousands of beautiful passages in the Bible that you're not going to find in normal literature.
Yeah. I mean,
even Shakespeare in all of his beauty doesn't have the heart-touching content that the Bible does. And you're right, this one about Paul, he tells us tribulation. He was beat up. I mean, literally at one point, stoned and left for dead, gone without food, gone without enough clothing. All of these things happened to him, and yet he knew that he was never outside of the love of God. See, God doesn't often keep us from bad experiences. What he does is he promises to go through them with us, to help us with them. And as I'm beginning to help my friend recognize that God isn't the perpetrator, in fact, he wants to be the helper. Can I show you from the Bible how you can have a relationship with God that can be a help to you in these horrible, difficult times?
Right. It's like we were saying before, it's all about perspective. So if you have a biblical perspective, you know that the problem started in the garden. And it didn't start before the garden, meaning the world was not created with this sinfulness. Cancer is not part of God's plan. Doing a funeral this Saturday, preaching the gospel at a, you know, friend's funeral. We've been friends a long time. He was just an alongsider at our church. He was involved in a lot of different things, touched a lot of lives. He was, you know, 62 and lots of health, seemingly. Then all of a sudden, he's got, you know, pain in his gut, goes to the hospital, ends up being 2 weeks in the hospital, and they realize he's got liver cancer. And, you know, here's a guy who's never even touched alcohol. So how do you explain the liver cancer? So it's like, well, it's liver cancer. There's blood clots in the liver, and there's this fluid filling his abdomen, and the fluid, the doctors are looking at him like, we don't even know what's going on. And they're like, okay, well, let's get you started on chemo. And then they think they can get him started on chemo, and then they're like, oh, we can't. Because you're like 2 weeks out of the hospital, his organs start shutting down. And it's like, okay. So they send him back into the hospital, and then they realize, well, now it's too late. I mean, it's in 4 weeks' time, and then he passes 2 days ago.
Is he leaving a family behind?
Yeah.
Yeah. How does that make you angry at any level?
It doesn't make me angry, but there was a time it would have made me absolutely angry. And there was a time in my life where I was really angry with God. It was, and by the way, it was after I was already a Christian. I think this is also encouraging to unbelievers, and this is something I'm okay sharing with an unbeliever. even as a Christian, there are times when I get angry with God. And by the way, I don't think that's wrong, because the psalmist shows a wide range of transparency and different emotions he's comfortable revealing in prayer to the Creator and his Lord. And so the psalmist has no quips about saying to God, right now I feel like I'm going to die and I'm depressed and I'm angry, and are you going to come and help me, or are you going to abandon me and reject me?
Do you ever get hangry? I mean, you're just so hungry, you're mad at everybody. I don't know whether you've ever noticed it, but often it's my wife that gets the brunt of that. I'm not angry at her. I'm angry because of the circumstance, and I take it out on her. I think sometimes when it comes to sorrow, and I see death as a that's an intruder here. God made this world for life,
right?
And death is an intruder. And man, that sometimes I just think that I don't. That's not right. And it's not right. God didn't make the world this way. But getting angry with God isn't the solution. Just like getting angry with my wife isn't the solution when I'm angry.
It's just an easy target, just like our wives. They're easy targets. You know, they are people that we know love us, and so they'll take it. But we wouldn't do that with some stranger, but we might be comfortable doing for them. So if anything, it reveals that at some level you acknowledge that God loves you enough that you could yell at him like that, and he still love you.
And I think that's the one thing that we just have to help people realize, that, okay, God's big enough to take your frustrations, but if you really want help, he's the one who can give you help.
And that's the deal, and especially when we talk about the problem of evil from a theological standpoint. God is not the source of evil, and there's a really pretty obvious key evidence of that, besides all the verses that say that he is good, besides all that, is that God can't be the source of evil because he's part of the solution. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. So how could the one who sacrificed his son, and the son went willingly and allowed himself to be sacrificed and took the place, and the son says to the father, why have you forsaken me on the cross? I mean, if you ever have a good day spiritually, and then the next day you have a bad day spiritually, and it feels like you fell, and it's like, oh, okay, how do I get back up to that point on the mountain? What was it like for Jesus, who for eternity had been in fellowship with God, and then that moment on the cross, he takes on all the sins of the world, and the Father has to turn away. Habakkuk 1:13, I have impure eyes than to behold evil. He has to forsake his son relationally, and there's that drop, an infinite drop, you know, from an eternal perfect relationship. But then we know that it's over, it's done, and three days later he rises from the dead. And so but Jesus is the solution. He's not the culprit. And people treat God like the culprit, and it's important to show them from the Bible and put them face to face with the Bible and say, no, Jesus is the solution.
Yeah. In fact, he came and not just identified with our suffering, but literally took it on himself so that he could rescue us from it.
Right. Right. And anybody who takes a bullet for you is not somebody that hates you. They are always somebody who loves you.
That's good.
Well, this was episode 2 of Gospel Talks, talking about witnessing to somebody who thinks that God is not good. If the content was helpful, please hit the subscribe button, and please be praying with us that the God of the harvest would send forth laborers. We love you guys. God bless, and see you next week.